Because verse number 2 says, I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way. That's what we're talking about tonight. That leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. And so I want to talk about this some more tonight as we continue our series on conversational evangelism. And tonight's lesson, we are reviewing and exemplifying the first lesson that we had. And the reason I chose to do this, there was a couple of reasons. Number one, because of the good feedback I got from some folks because of the lesson. And I heard some people tell me some things that they had experienced, some things they had noticed, and they tried it out and it worked. And so I want to talk about this a little bit further before we go into the next lessons in this series, which will be specific types of conversations we have with people. But more important than knowing what type of conversation we're having and trying to use different types of conversation to reach people and lead them to the Lord, more important than all of that is just walking through the doors that God opens for us. And once we get through the door, we're going to figure everything else out. But so many times we neglect to see the doors of opportunity that we have before us to share the gospel with other people. And we neglect to enter through those doors. And so sometimes we find ourselves not really hardly doing anything in respect to evangelism. So I want to spend some more time on this lesson tonight, and that is cultivating and stimulating and recognizing opportunities. And as I do this tonight, I've asked three men to help me out. I'll talk for a while, and then Joe Bates is going to talk a little bit. And then I'll talk some more, and then Scott Flatt's going to talk a little bit. And then I'll talk some more, and Scott Love will talk a little bit, and then I'll finish everything up. The reason I chose to do that is because there's a number of reasons. One thing is, I can stand up here and all day long and tell you my experiences and what I see and what I experience, but I'm the preacher. And I get paid to do this. And so that can sort of be looked at in that way. So I wanted some of the men, just as all of you, out in the trenches doing these things, I wanted some of the men to come and to help me with this lesson tonight, not to quote-unquote to have a testimonial. That's not at all what we're doing, but to share their thoughts in these regards and perhaps give some illustrations or examples or some things which they see as they try to do these things. And this by no means represents all those who are doing these things, because I know you all are busy and doing these things in your life. Just as Gary Steen led us this morning in his prayer, opening prayer in the service this morning, asking God to help us choose the words to speak as we interrelate with other people. And I know I'm paraphrasing this greatly. So that when we talk with other people, that they understand that we're Christians, that we're concerned about salvation and going to heaven, and that we're concerned about them and their souls, and whether or not they go to heaven, and perhaps this will cause someone to ask for the hope that lies within us, and then we can give them the reasons for that. Well, what is conversational evangelism? And we've talked about evangelism in a number of ways. This is our third series on evangelism in about a year. It is simply talking about God and salvation in the church in everyday conversations. Everyday things that occur. We're not having a special Bible class so that we can talk about God. Now, we'd like to get to that. That would be nice, but we're not waiting to that point. We're talking about God, and we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in everyday activities and everyday conversations. Our next door neighbor, who moved in just shortly after we did, from time to time we have the opportunity to talk in the yard. He'll tell me where he goes to church, and I'll tell him where I go to church, and I invite him to come to church with us and to come to gospel meetings with us, but he hasn't so far. And I share with you that story because many of these things are are things that are in progress. Now, we don't ask someone to come to church with us the first time and they come. We don't necessarily ask someone to come to Bible class with us and the first time they come. Many times we must work on this repeatedly throughout time as we visit with our friends and our neighbors. I want to emphasize the point we made last time, and that was on prayer. And I'm going to ask you some questions for your heart in just a few moments, because it's been 3 or 4 weeks since we had the initial lesson in this series. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, here the Apostle Paul, writing to those in Colossae, says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned." And then also, turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. Here the Apostle Paul speaking to the brethren at Ephesus, and that they are to put on the whole armor of God, and then turns his attention to prayer. "And pray on my behalf, that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, I want to make this lesson very encouraging and uplifting, but at the same time, we need to ask ourselves some honest questions. Do you believe that God will help us in our efforts to reach the lost if we pray about it? Do you truly believe God will help us? That the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. That as we pray about talking to our friends, talking to our neighbors, to have the opportunity to do that, to have the right words, to have wisdom, to have knowledge, all of these things, that God is going to open up these doors for us. Do you believe that if we pray about it? Or if we pray about it, it's going to be the status quo. Have you been praying about your evangelistic efforts? Have you been praying about your evangelistic efforts in general and about special or specific people? Have you been praying for people who have recently obeyed the gospel? Those who are trying to be grounded in the truth, that are trying to make these changes in their lives, have you been praying for them? One of the earlier series on evangelism, we talked about having a prospect list. That's just a list of people we think that we have a good chance of reaching. Do you still have your list? Are you looking at your list? Are you praying about the people on your list? And can we be praying for our evangelistic efforts more as a church? The answer is, of course, we can. But the next question is, well, will we start praying about it more? And so prayer is very important. And when we pray about these things, God helps us. Because I guarantee you, every person here feels inadequate, including myself. And some time ago, I came to the conclusion that it's not about me and my abilities, but it's about God. And all the Old Testament stories that we see over and over and over and over and over again, it's all about God. It's not about how old you are, and it's not about how long you've been a Christian. I'm reminding of a story of a young person in high school, and one of the janitors there, this individual was concerned about this janitor and wanted this janitor to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ, and began leaving tracts on his desk every day, and the janitor was converted to Christ. It's not about age. It's not about ability. It's not about how long we've been a Christian. It's about God. And if we pray about it, we will be much more successful reaching the lost. Have we been praying? more so in the last 3 or 4 weeks as we've been talking about these things. In just a moment, Joe's going to come up here, be the world's Bible. We talked about that. The Bible is something people have to want to use. And if they don't want to use it, it's not going to do them any good. The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can take the Bible to the world, but we can't make them look at it, study it, read it, or anything else. We're searching for the people who are interested. That's all. The people who are interested in learning more about God and being more spiritual. The people who are interested in going to church. And I'm ashamed of the times I reflect back, and perhaps this motivates me. And I hear about those who are now going to church. And for years I never mentioned God to them. And they were just waiting for somebody to do that. And why didn't I do that? Take the Bible to the world. We're looking for those who are interested. As a congregation, this is one of our strengths, and I truly believe that. Two scriptures I want to remind us of very quickly, and that's Matthew chapter 5. In just a moment, Joe is going to come up, and he's going to talk about some of these things. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. And I believe, this is simply my humble opinion, we do a very good job of this as a congregation. We've had evidence of that recently. Joseph, and the very kind note that he wrote to our congregation that Dennis read aloud, I think that's evidence of that. We have many, many, many good things, great things, evangelistic things that are going on. The saying I'll remind you of, it takes a congregation. You can have the best preacher in the world, you can have the best elders in the world, the best deacons in the world, but if the congregation is not what it ought to be, evangelistic efforts are going to be unsuccessful. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Again, we are excelling at this, I believe. I believe that we are ready more than ever for individuals to come into our midst and see what we do and witness what we do. And that will be a strong motivating force for them. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Simply sharing our faith. And some people get all tied up about that phrase, sharing our faith. And I mean it in a way that I think you can understand. As we go throughout life, we tell people what we believe. This is our faith. And we're not ashamed of it. We're not ashamed to communicate the things that are most important to us. As we go to work, as we go to school, as we cut the grass, as we talk to our neighbors. And so we share our faith, the things that we believe about God and salvation and the church and the Bible. Joe Bates, if you would, come and share a few things with us in respect to this.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, you'd be turning there. And Alan, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to stand here tonight. And you really have nerves of steel. I mean, sharing a pulpit with me is high risk. So I thank you for that. Once you get past me, the team of Scott and Scott will be very effective, I'm sure of that. And I got the names right. But in Romans 12th chapter, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, and we're reading verses 1 through 12, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And we'll touch on that point of reasonable service more in a moment. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And I just wanted to present that text to you to give us a mindset of the things Alan's already talked about. That we are one body. We're working together in unity. And we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. There are many things that we each can do and should be doing. And because we owe everything to Jesus. I mean, without Jesus, we're nothing. And we receive treasures in heaven one day. It will be by God's wonderful grace and his mercy. And all that we can do is only a reasonable service. It certainly will not be by the works of man. However, there are things that we're instructed to do that we can find throughout the Bible. And what I'd like to consider for just a couple of moments is what we see, or I see and you see, our brothers and our sisters in Christ accomplishing. And for the most part, we're talking about what's going on right here in the building, but these things also, these members are very effective. All the members are very effective in areas outside the building too. And I think it's good for us to reflect on these things, not to glorify man, but to encourage each other and to give glory to God. And I have to say that being a member of this particular congregation, of this Lord's body that meets here, has become my most fulfilling and rewarding experience in the years that I have sought to serve the Lord. What we see happening as we worship here is that attention has been given by many, if not all, to all the needs of everyone that comes through these doors. And our visitors receive a very cordial welcome. They're made very comfortable by everyone. And they always feel that they're our honored guest. And that's something that we need to continue doing, and we're doing very well, I believe, as Alan mentioned earlier. The elders and the deacons and Brother McNabb have worked to put together a system that is working. Their program grabs any opportunity of anyone that comes in here, or anyone that visits the websites, or any other avenue that they make contact, to study with them, to teach. And yet they're approached in such a way that they're not intimidated and they're not overwhelmed by our efforts. And I think that's according to God's will. And I thank all of you for your part that you play in this, and I encourage you to keep that up. Many of you are very good at following up the visitors with cards, calls, emails, visits, having them into your home, taking them out to eat. I mean, there's just an incredible activity going on with the members here. And frankly, follow-up is my weakness. I can stand back there, I can shake a hand, I can give a visitor's card, I can try to collect information, but when it comes to actually following up, getting the emails out, making contact, going to see someone, brother, I need your help. We need to encourage each other to do that. And there's many in the audience that are familiar with sales, and they'll tell you that the success is in the follow-up. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with or what you're dealing with in this world. If you don't follow up, then people don't take you as sincere. And anyone coming into our audience here receives, as I mentioned earlier, numerous welcomes, words of encouragement. And there's always some of you that have the contact information together. And time would certainly fail me, and my memory certainly would, of if I tried to mention the names of those that are very active here. But as I said earlier, what I witness every time I'm in this building is just a flurry of activity with those all the members encouraging, admonishing, seeking, especially the visitors. They don't want a person to leave here without knowing that we care for them, we care for their soul. And suffice it to say that we have all men and women and children of all ages in this auditorium tonight that are very active, and they do all that they can to encourage and edify. And in my judgment, this is a church that's very zealous for the Lord. However, and you probably knew this was coming, but there is one point that I would just like to throw out there for your consideration. We need to be diligent, do all we can to increase our capability and our opportunity to serve. And this is what hurts. We need to try to be here early. The members need to be here as early as they can. I realize there are problems that occur. There are many of you that have family that affects your ability to be here early. But it's, in my mind, it's critical, because if we have visitors here that are seeing our members come right at the last minute or possibly late, it'd be much better if you were here early to encourage them. And the other part is we need to stay late. Well, I'm delighted to tell you we don't have a problem there. Everyone here will stay late and encourage, visit, edify, and do all that they can. They'll even go back here and have a Bible class, you know, if they want. All of you are doing an excellent job in that regard. And finally, just state Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. One of the things I mentioned from time to time to the elders here is that I had concern personally. It wasn't anything, you know, to really reflect on the church, but my personal heart. I was concerned that we didn't appear to be a joyful people. And there was I perceived the lack of joy, a lack of happiness in our lives, and a lack of smile on our face, and a lack of song in our heart. And as we recognize the treasure that's in our grasp, it's eternal life. And Chris taught us a little while back, and a number of others have also taught lessons on that, about the value of our soul. If we lose our soul in eternity, I mean, there's nothing. Everything in this life is going to go away. It's going to be burned up. But we take our soul with us, and where we spend eternity is so important to us now and in eternal life. The soul is all we have and all that we can take with us. And in conclusion, just like to say that I believe we're a strong and faithful body of Christ, very, very active, zealous for good works. And what I've come to realize in the last few months, two or three months, maybe a little further back than that, this church is rejoicing in the Lord. And I do see joy in everyone here. Thank you.
Well, I asked Joe, I can tell you this now that he's sat down. I asked Joe to say a few remarks as I was thinking about individuals who are busy doing the things we're talking about. Joe is one of the people that keeps me doing what I need to be doing. If there's a visitor, he wants to know if I know there's a visitor, if I've met the visitor, if we got the information on the visitor. He wants to know all sorts of things like that, and does a fantastic job making sure that, if I can use the phrase, bend over backwards to make sure that we welcome our visitors and that we are to the very best of our ability showing them Jesus Christ. And so I wanted him to say a few words in that regard tonight. I believe we are taking God's word to the world, that we are a light into the world, and we need to continue to do that. Can we always improve? We can. But we need to continue to do those things, and I commend you for that. Next thing I want to talk about, and we talked about last time, is recognizing opportunities. And I've asked Scott Flatt to say a few words on this in just a few moments, because he's had some success in some ladies from work visiting with us, and Russ has been very kind to visit with us lately. And here we are just simply recognizing opportunities to talk to other people about God. I know at one point Scott got one of the ladies at work a Bible in a foreign language. I forget what the language was. And this was something that individual needed. And he saw that that was accomplished, to be able to help that individual. Turn your Bibles, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's impossible tonight to talk about everyone and all the many good things that they're doing individually in their lives. But here we notice from the Apostle Paul that we must make the most of our time because the days are evil. You know, there are so many times, and I'm so ashamed of myself when I neglect to see an opportunity. Indeed, it's not possible to take advantage of all the opportunities. Recently, with the neighbor I told you about, lives next door. Here we're in the yard again, and we start talking about church, and time was pressing. I just couldn't take the time to stand and to talk about those things that time, but they're cataloged right here. And believe me, next time, we'll continue to talk about them. It's impossible to take advantage of every opportunity, every time. Indeed, we're busy and life is busy and life moves so fast, but many opportunities we can avail ourselves of. Some tips that I shared with you last time that I printed in the bulletin. If someone says the word church, you know they're interested about spiritual things. If you can't follow up right then, if you can't walk in that open door right there, catalog it. Remember that this person is interested in talking about church and talking about God, and that's someone to try to talk to again. Also, if anyone starts a conversation regarding a moral or religious issue, then it's good then to reference the Bible, talk about the Bible. You know, it may be politics, it may be whatever it is, but the more we talk about the Bible, it's going to let people know we're interested in the Word of God, and that's important to us, and we'd be glad to talk about it. Number three, we can use any conversation that lasts longer than just a few moments to springboard to another conversation regarding God, the church, and salvation, and I challenge you. You know, for me, I really had to work, and I still constantly work at this. And I'll say to myself, you know, here was this conversation and here's the things we were talking about. Now, how could I have said something about God? How could I have brought out a point about God? And then I will replay that conversation in my mind and then I will go through my mind what I could have said in that conversation. And number four, whenever talking about a religious topic, always ask someone, are you going to church right now? And that's the best way I found out to ask the question. That's not assuming that an individual isn't going to church. That's making no assumptions at all. And just ask, are you going to church anywhere right now? And many times that opens up an avenue of discussion that we can talk about God and the church and salvation. Scott, will you come up now?
I know Alan has already read this verse this evening, but if you would please turn to 1 Peter 3. I want to read verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to read verse 15 again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I teach the high school class on Wednesday night, and we've been talking about Acts and conversion, a lot of the examples that we can read in Acts, and as I've talked to them and studied with them, one of the things that has always kind of struck me is this verse. I remember growing up as a youngster, I heard this verse a number of times, and it kind of scared me at the time as I was growing up, because I often wondered, would I have the ability to do what this verse is saying? If someone asked me, you know, why do you do the things you do? Why do you believe the way you believe? Would I be able to give a response that would lead them possibly to search for the same things themselves? And studying with them and talking with them, I've kind of see a lot of times the same things in them that I saw in myself. But as I've gotten older, I realize that there is indeed a responsibility that I have as a Christian to spread the gospel as much as I can, to do what we've been commanded to do by Christ and going into all the world. All of us have that responsibility. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28, We're all familiar with this passage, the parable of the talents. I'm not going to take the time to read this, but I encourage each one of you, based on the lesson tonight, to do this on your own time. We see three different men who are given different talents. All of us have been given different talents. Not every one of us can teach a class. Not every one of us can stand up in front of an audience and preach a sermon. But I believe that one thing that is universal in all of our lives is the opportunities that we have to some way influence someone. I believe that that's the thing that all of us share. We don't all have the same talent, but we all have the opportunity that is there to somehow spread the gospel in some way. I believe that we can sometimes be more influential in teaching, sometimes by the way we conduct our lives, than even by the words that we say or the verses that we know or the knowledge that we might have of the Scriptures. And to give you an illustration, I told Russ earlier today that I was going to bring him up, and I didn't want to embarrass him, but he said it would be okay if I did. An illustration of this is something that happened to me. I have, like I said, always been kind of fearful of talking to people or bringing things up because you don't want to offend. I don't want to offend anybody, and the society we live in today is kind of sensitive along these lines. But I've known Russ for, we played basketball against each other in high school. And I've known Russ, you know, casually for since high school, a long time. And about two years ago, we played in a few basketball leagues together, and we would, you know, see each other, you know, maybe once or twice a week. And we started spending more time that way, from that standpoint, on that type of relationship. And I never once thought about talking to Russ about, you know, going to church. I never once thought about talking to him about what he believes and you know, things along that line. But I remember one day we got done playing basketball, and he asked me a question. And it kind of struck me at the time. I didn't think about it. I just answered the question, and then, you know, we talked for probably 30 minutes just about things, and you know, that kind of stimulated the relationship that we have now and where we're at this point. And that's a credit to Russ, I believe, because he saw something, and he had the courage to ask about it, and he wanted to know. It's the very thing that 1 Peter 3, I think, is teaching us. But at the same time, I must say that as this has come along, it's been encouraging to me, not from the standpoint of being prideful or anything that I've done, but it taught me the very thing that we've talked about in the class. I can have a bearing, or I can have an influence on someone even without having the ability to teach them maybe person to person what to do to be saved, or I might not be able to do the things that someone else like Alan or any of our elders might have the ability to do or the talent to do. And that was encouraging to me, but it was also humbling to me at the same time, because I realized that how I live my life and how I conduct myself in my everyday walk of life is seen by others. It's seen by those in the world that don't know anything about what I believe. And that was very sobering and humbling. The last thing I'd like to read before Alan gets up again is Matthew chapter 10. And I think that this should be in each one of our minds as we go through life. Matthew chapter 10, and I want to read verse 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who lives in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. These are, if you think about it, these are very strong words that are being spoken here. Each one of us does not have the same talents, but each one of us can use the talents and the abilities that we've been given by God to somehow make good on the opportunities that we have. Each one of us are given opportunities. We can use these things. If I can't teach someone myself, I can find someone who can teach them. I can use whatever talents or abilities God's given me to take advantage of the opportunities that I've been given. And let's keep in mind, I don't think that any of us need to underestimate what type of influence or what we can do as Christians. And let's keep these things in mind, these verses in mind always as we go through our walks of life.
Well, I hope the lesson as it's going is encouraging for you. I've never done a lesson like this before. I'm encouraged by hearing the experiences of others, and there's without a doubt that I could stand up here and I could tell you stories after stories after stories about people in this audience and things that have been told to me, and I don't mean by singling out just a few people that they're the ones working and everyone else isn't, because that's not true. And I think we can see, as we've so far heard from Joe, who refused to talk about himself. He said, I'll tell you what I see, but I won't talk about myself. And from Scott's experience, and I hope they're as encouraging to you as they are to me, because it helps to motivate me in these regards. I want to very quickly talk about stimulating spiritual conversations. And I've asked Scott Love to speak in just a moment in this regard, because he's working very hard in this area. And I gave you the illustration last time that it's like fishing, that it's like throwing out a line. And you throw out a line to see if there's a fish that's going to take the line or not. And you may have 100 lines all around your little boat, and someday a fish is going to grab one of those lines. That's sort of what we're talking about. And some of the tips with doing this, we talked about using a spiritual vocabulary. Use words like church and God and Jesus and salvation. And I could tell you stories about that, how just using these words, and people pick up on these things, and if they're interested in talking about God, they're going to enter into a conversation with that. I've got in the bulletin some information about the statistics and the number of people in our country that want to have a spiritual conversation. It's staggering. The liberal media wants you to think that it might be a small 1/10 of some sort of percent or something like that. But, I mean, it's staggering the amount of people that are hungry for spiritual conversation. And we just simply need to let them know we too are interested in those conversations by using words such as this. Talk about moral and religious issues using the Bible to substantiate our position. Talk about God in relationship to all the topics that we can, and tell everyone we can about Jesus and His church and our congregation as we invite them. Scott, to come and share a few thoughts with us, please.
Let me give a hearty amen to everything I've heard. It's been very encouraging to me, and I appreciate the opportunity as well. Let me start out by saying, first of all, if I can talk to someone, anybody can. Because I'm a Florida redneck cracker boy, and I've had trouble putting my words together. And you know that I've preached in the past, but I'm telling you, when I was a young person, I was horrible. And I still put foot in my mouth and say things I shouldn't. And, you know, some of the things that Joe and Scott pointed out about, you know, we need to be careful what we say and things like that. And I believe what Alan and these men have said, that we need to ask God to pray for us. I'd ask him if he's going to use Colossians 4. He took my verse away from me. That's okay. And I'll tell you, I believe in the power of prayer. And I'll come back to this in just a moment, because every time I ask God to send me an opportunity, I get it. I don't always get it that same day. But I'm telling you, I get it. And I'll tell you what's amazing to me. I can't explain it to you. I don't think we can try to always understand God's providence, how He works. But if you're praying about opportunities, you're asking God to send you people to talk to you about these kind of things He's talking about, and you're looking, He'll provide them. And He'll provide them at a time that you just won't think it'll happen. It might be the waiter in a restaurant. It might be the person that walks in your office. It might be the neighbor over the fence He talks about. I've come home many a time and told Annette, I said, God answered another prayer. And I'm ashamed of myself, because I don't do exactly what Alan said. I don't pray about spiritual opportunities enough. And I'm not here to shame any of you, but I suspect I'm probably not the only one. And so I'd like to read a verse just to kind of go back to that very first point. Matthew 9, the only verse I'll read tonight, Matthew 9, 35, remind us of a very foundational thing, because I believe if we get our motivation right, I think we'll do all these other things. Matthew 9, 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." There's something else we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for more laborers. And there's two or three points I want to emphasize here. First of all, is notice back in verse 36 that it says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When we see people, a lot of times we're an extremely busy society. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just getting old or something. But it just seems like we're all running around like chickens all the time. And we're just too busy. Our whole society in general, at least in this Tampa Bay area, is just too busy. And it's hard to get people to sometimes even slow down and hardly talk to you. And I think that limits the opportunities. Makes it a challenge. And, you know, a lot of people are rude, and a lot of people are just very, you know, some people aren't real friendly, and you know what? Those are the people that you need to be nice to, not just the people that are nice to you, because you know what? Just the fact that you treat them with respect and kindness, even though maybe they're mean to everybody, and maybe everybody's mean to them because, you know, everybody kind of treats everybody the way they treat everybody, that kind of is what Scott was saying, I think, a while ago. Just your conduct, just the kindness and the respect you show to every human being you come into contact with could provide you an opportunity. You need to see everybody as a lost sheep. And as Chris preached his good lesson on a few months ago, see the value of every soul. Realize that every person, whether they're 3 years old, 50 years old, or 80 years old, they have an eternal soul. Everybody you bump into has an eternal soul. And I'll stop there because I could just talk about that for an hour. I want to emphasize, too, that in the verse that we read, "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I hope none of us are sitting here tonight saying, well, you know, that's good for Scott and Joe or Alan and the elders and maybe two or three others. In fact, I want to do something. I want everybody that thinks they have a responsibility to preach the gospel to raise their hand right now. And I'm talking about one-on-one. Does everybody here really believe, everybody in this building believe that they are to be a personal worker, a teacher of the gospel? I hope everybody in this building feels strongly about that. Because you know what? That's what can make this church on fire. It'll make this church on fire. And we should not be happy that we're thankful for the baptisms we've had and the visitors, the new members that have joined us, and Joe and people like that coming in. But our goal should be to fill this building up and have to build another one because we have so many. There should never be a sense of smugness or satisfaction among us. And I especially want to emphasize to our young people that you have probably the best opportunities, I believe, of anybody to share the gospel. I ask my kids sometimes, do you ever invite your friends to church? You know, I try not to nag at my kids, but I remember, the reason I say that, I remember what it was like when young people are just more open-minded. And older people, a lot of times, they've got their mind made up, and it's just harder to get people that are older they've got their mind made up for the most part. And young people are like a sponge, they're learning. And you know that geeky kid that sits next to you in science class that's obnoxious, you can't stand? That's a prospect. Have you ever thought about that, young people? And that person, that maybe that kid that pulls, you know, the girls, you know, this guy that just pulls your hair and he aggravates you, you know, it might not just be because he thinks you're a kid. It might be because maybe he notices there's something different about you. Look for those. And I want to challenge our young people. Look for those opportunities. I wish I had done a better job of redeeming my time with those opportunities when I was younger. I look back and I'm like you. I'm so ashamed. And I want to use the time, the remaining time that I have. But when you look back, what are young people doing all day long? They're talking to each other. They're talking about everything. And you know what? What do we talk about? We talk about what we're excited about. We share. We talk about the latest video game. We talk about sports. We talk about the Bucks. We talk about the Gators. We talk about, you know, the girls talk about the boys or whatever girls talk about and all that stuff. Are you excited about the Lord? You know, I was thinking about some of the things that Joe said tonight. made me think about, you know, when you invite someone to church, when you say, would you come worship with us? I wanted to ask you a question. Would you be proud or ashamed to bring someone here to this congregation? Would you be proud or ashamed? Let me say this. If you're not real happy here at the South Livingston Church Crowd, if you're not proud to bring people here, if you're a little hesitant, then I want you to get with the elders as soon as possible. Because you know what? If we're not doing something right, they need to address it, whether it involves having Alan preach sermons or whether there's individual people that are hypocrites that are turning you off. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? If you're ashamed of this church, and you're not really excited about coming here, like Joe was talking about, please go see the elders and let them address it. I think Jerry and Dennis are open-minded enough. We're not a perfect church. You know, Joe, I appreciate the nice thing you said, but we all got a lot of room to improve. We all can do a better job. We should be excited and proud of this congregation. And I want to put it this way. You can invite them and say, tell them about our worship. You can tell them about our Bible classes. I love our Bible classes and our curriculum. You can say, hey, we're studying, going through the whole Old Testament. I blew an opportunity, I think, with one of my neighbors, Alan. I should have probably asked them sooner, my next door neighbor. And I was trying to invite them to have a home study or maybe come here. And they said, oh, we're already going to a Bible. And they started telling me about their curriculum at their church. And I was like, see, I was too late. How we treat one another, all these things. I can with good conscience say, like Joe, come worship with us. No one's going to pressure you. No one's going to treat you bad. None of these types of things. So, again, that's one stimulator right there is when you invite people, say, why don't you come to church with me sometime? Or maybe it's a Wednesday night Bible study. If you know they work or, you know, if you know their schedule or whatever, why don't you come with me one Wednesday night? Why don't you let me come by and pick you up? These are stimulators. These are things we can use. Let me talk very quickly here because I know we're getting to the end of the service. One of the things that Al and I have been talking about that, and Patty, most of you know that Patty Douglas works with me and I got a little office there on Florida Avenue, is I realized I was missing opportunities right there at my workplace. Now I want you to think about something. It's so simple, it's mind-boggling. And I suspect that almost every one of us tonight probably misses these things. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not missing them. But I know I've missed opportunities through the years, like Scott said, just not thinking about it. Well, brethren, we got to start thinking about spiritual opportunities. If God is first in our lives, then we've got to be thinking about spiritual things Monday through Friday when we're at the workplace, on our jobs. There's all kind of people come through the door, and it's not like I obviously don't force religion on my clients, but it's just the idea you're looking for. And you know, we talked to the mailman, and the one that I'm excited about right now, it's the backup mailman, the substitute mailman. He came in, he's been real friendly. We just try to, you know, stop what we're doing, put you know, unless we're on the phone, stop what we're doing, quit looking at the computer for a second, and just start talking to him. Just talk to him. And it doesn't take long before something's going to come up, like Alan said, about God or the Bible or religion. And this guy was telling me about his kids aren't real happy, you know, at the Catholic Church, and they're going to catechism. Bing! There was a clue. And finally got into it, and I offered to show him some Bible translations because he didn't know much about the Bible. And we met this past week and had lunch together, and I told him I would go over and buy some Bibles, pick out some Bibles over at the bookstore for him. He didn't know hardly anything about the Bible, but he wants his kids to know the Bible. And he just took them to confession over at the Catholic Church because it was tradition. But he's searching. He said, I'm not happy there. And I'm excited about that. And he basically agreed to have a Bible study with me. Hopefully, you know, that'll work out. But, you know, you got the mailman. You got the UPS man. You got the FedEx guy. You got the water guy. I mean, it's amazing when I start thinking all the people that come to the door. You got solicitors. You can say, well, they're solicitors. They're rude or obnoxious. Well, that's okay. They need the gospel too, don't they? And you start thinking, well, there's opportunities everywhere. And then the other place, it's not just the workplace, wherever you work. But it could, like I say, it could just be across the fence. It could be right there in your neighborhood. You know, we got this little dog we got, and it was good for Annette because she started walking down the street, walking the dog a year ago. You know what happened as a result of her walking down the street? She met the neighbors. And you take a woman and you put her with a dog, and they're, unless it's a pit bull or something, and they're considered very harmless. And people walk up and start talking to you about your dog. Guess what she found out? There's people interested in religion right there on our little street. And we're trying to get a home. We've been trying to get a home study going. And I suggest to you, the opportunity is right there on your street, right there across the fence. And I've asked four people so far since we made a decision to try to get a home study. And three of the four said they were interested. And I'm not saying three out of four. You might get three out of four and say they're not. The one that says she wasn't interested, she was really not interested. And believe me, I'm not going to go back and bother her. But you know what? But at least she knows. And if something happens in her life, she'll know that I'm interested in spiritual things. And the other three we're praying about, we're just having some scheduling trouble and trying to get with them. But we're trying to get a home study right there in our street. So I hope some of these ideas are helpful to you. And I think two more things real quick. As far as stimulators, you can tell, you know, sometimes people call me on Wednesday, and I don't know what it is. I think it's the devil. He sends these people, and they wait to the last second to want to get their insurance policy, right, Tommy, and all your staff that are here too. And they want to come in Wednesday night. And they say, what time you close? I said, I'll close early. I close at 4:30 because I like to go to Bible study. I don't say I have to go to church. I want to go to Bible study, or I like to go to Bible study on Wednesday night, and I leave early. And sometimes, I'm not going to have any coverage. I'm leaving at 4:30. If you want a policy, you'll have to get in, you know, earlier. And sometimes people say, oh, you go to church? Really? Bingo. There you go. So, see, I planted the seed. How many of you make appointments every day in your profession? How many of you make appointments to go see your doctor or anything else? Everybody, right? Almost everybody here makes appointments. You know, I think we miss a great opportunity. A lot of times people say, okay, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you next week. What should be our response? If the Lord wills. What a wonderful opportunity to let them know that you acknowledge that if the Lord wills, I'll see you tomorrow or next week or whatever. Again, that's a conversation starter. I don't think it's harsh. I don't think it's obnoxious. I don't think you're jamming religion down their throat. You're just saying, if the Lord wills and I'm alive, yep, I'll see you tomorrow for whatever the appointment is. So these are things we just have to be praying about it, looking for it, and asking God to help us, and He certainly will. Thanks for your time.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts. If I can summarize, we have a great congregation, have a great group of people here. But we all realize we can do a better job. And I've been motivated tonight. The things that we have talked about, the things that we've considered, the things that we've studied. I'm more motivated than when I began tonight. Remember we sang that song, I Want to Be. I Want to Be. As we sang that song, we all admitted that we can do better. I want to be. Something more I want to be in the future. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I hope you're encouraged and edified tonight. I hope you're uplifted tonight. Not that we're to sit on our laurels, and yes, we have a great congregation and some wonderful things have happened lately, but we also all need to be honest with ourselves that we can make some changes in our life and we can do a little bit better job, and that's the way it's going to be as long as we live here. And let's all of us, every one of us, decide that we are going to be more of what we can be. Starting today. Thank you so much for your time and good attention. Thank you so much for the men that helped me with the lesson. And thank you for being such a good congregation.